Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I love that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Double Take. Mary, today we're talking about toe. T-O-W. I just had my first pedicure, so I'm thinking about T-O-E.
That's TMI.
Anyway, it's a small film called Toe, starring, I mean, I know you and I have begun to appreciate Rose Byrne.
Absolutely.
So what's she doing now in Toe?
So in Toe, she actually portrays a real person named Amanda Ogle, who in 2017, while she was homeless and living out of her car, while she was in a job interview, her car was towed. Well, not towed, I should say. It was stolen. Then when it was found, it was towed by the contractor for Seattle police. When she goes to get the car, the tow company is trying to charge her $273 and some change to get her car back. And we follow her through this almost one-year journey to get her stolen, then towed car back. Meanwhile, the fees that the towing company wants to charge start to go up and eventually exceed $20,000 to get a 1991 Camry, which at the time in 2017 was valued at anywhere from $1,500 to $5,000 back.
And what was she called? Unhoused?
Unhoused. They also called it vehicle residence.
Yeah, something like that.
Something
yeah.
Like that.
So they had euphemisms for her not having any roof over her head.
Yes.
As you were explaining what this is about, I'm reminded that one of the very good features of this is its minimalism, its realism. Anytime we've ever, and I've had at least once, your car towed away, it is a sickening feeling.
It is a sickening feeling. But for her especially, it's her home.
Yeah.
And we follow her for a little bit before the job interview and before her car getting stolen. And I did not know that there are parking lots that will allow people who are living out of their cars to park at night. Similar to finding a bed at a shelter, you can find a space to park your car. She arrives late one night, ends up parking in some business parking lot, I'm assuming, where she's tried to park before, and security guard knocks on her window at night and basically kicks her out. Some of it's hard to watch. It's also very eye-opening about what she has to go through as a homeless person.
Yes. And yet you feel it could have happened to you.
Right. I mean, we don't know right away why she's homeless, which I thought was a really good aspect of the script.
Yes, thank you.
That we meet her where she is and we're following her, and we eventually learn that she has a daughter. She's likely divorced, although that's never made clear. But she had substance abuse issues and mental health issue with regards to depression, to the point that she almost committed suicide.
Yeah.
By jumping off a bridge.
And they cut in and out of her relationship with her daughter. That's another realistic part of this. It's, you know, life is not easy even between mothers and daughters. I don't think she ever tells us she's unhoused, the daughter. So she keeps some secrets from her daughter.
Yes, she doesn't want her daughter to know how tough her life has become in Seattle. Her daughter, who's living with her father and stepmother, daughter's name's Avery, and is similar to her mother, is a free spirit. She's trying to be a costume designer with not my aesthetic of costumes. They don't really show her family life very much, but you get the sense that it's a very distant relationship with the father and the stepmother in Utah, as opposed to, you know, the big city of Seattle. And she has this image that her mother is having a great life in Seattle, and Amanda doesn't want Avery to feel the weight, I think, of the reality of her life there. And so she wants to keep up that ruse.
And one of the things that really hit home to me was, and I think for you too, was the fact that she's tried. She wants to have a professional job, and she has gone to school for vet tech, and then she realizes that she's not worthy because she doesn't have a college degree.
But she does get the job. Yes. Unfortunately, when she's walking out of the job interview is when she sees her car is stolen.
Yes, yes. I loved her line. So you mean you have to have a college degree to stick a thermometer up a dog?
And you see that in the trailer, and they always cut it off.
Oh, they do.
Right,
they
before
do. Right,
that
right
word.
Before AWS. I've noticed that in so many.
Before, one of but our, it is in the movie.
One of our pet peeves is the F-bombs. The F-bombs are just, they're viral in movies now. You would have expected it in one that we reviewed recently called Forbidden Fruits about slick chick mall girls contemporary. But I stopped trying to count the number of F-bombs in these scripts.
I didn't find that there was too much in this script.
Not in this one, right.
And, I mean, it's enough that you sense how quirky Amanda is as a person. She has very few filters with regards to what she will say to people. But it's not a script that's full of language like that. But there are very, serious themes. It's actually, I think, rated R for references to sexuality and drug use.
Yeah.
Because you do, she has abused substances before, specifically alcohol. And when she gets into the shelter system, specifically the main one at I assume it's a Catholic church based on
it is
the environment. And, it's supposed to be, alcohol and drug free for the residents who are allowed to stay there and are given a bed, not just by the night, but for as long as they need it. And you encounter other characters who are there because they have had substance abuse issues as well, one of whom still has ongoing issues.
One of the casting here is very good in this movie. And one of them is Octavia Spencer.
She manages the shelter.
Yeah. I think her name is Barb or whatever.
Barb, yeah.
Boy, she brings a presence to a film.
She absolutely does. And also, Ariana DeBose plays one of the residents of the shelter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you would think, those are two Academy Award winners. Plus, you have Rose Byrne, who's won a Golden Globe recently and nominated for an Academy Award recently.
Yeah, right.
So it's got a great pedigree.
Oh.
And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Dominic Sessa, who's in his second film after having held his
own while
against Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers.
I would have expected to see him much sooner than this. You're talking 2 years
ago. We're
lucky
we get to see him
now.
No,
we are. He is fine and a great presence here.
Yes, he is.
He's caring. He just is exemplary as a 24-year-old who is trying to do good.
He really is that old, so he's playing true to age.
Yes,
in
yes.
This film. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Amanda's story came to life through a Seattle Times journalist.
Yes.
Who found out, that she was about her battle against this towing company and the exorbitant fees, and that she had connected with Kevin, played by Dominic Sessa, through a nonprofit legal aid organization who agrees to represent her in her fight against this towing company. And a surprising, although stereotypical character is the attorney played by Corbin Burnson, who I have not seen in a long time.
But he is good in this
film.
He's
very good in this film. And even though it's a stereotypical role, I saw the humor in casting him because he was in L.A. Law for so long, where he made his name as Arnie and the very debonair attorney. And to see him in this role is just like a total creep and cretin trying to just, on principle, quote unquote, bring this woman down and not succumbed to releasing the car to her. It was just really fun and a little cheeky humor to see him in that role.
Oh, I think so. And he's so dismissive of her.
Completely.
And he's just, all he cares about is his drinks, and he's sitting on his lounge. And
well, to him, it's about money and it's about winning. And that's very clearly portrayed. Yeah. The other thing is, this is directed by Stephanie Lang, who has done a lot of episodic television, specifically working with Rose Byrne in her series Physical, as are a lot of the supporting actors in the Rose Byrne orbit. Rose produces this along with Stephanie Lang and a host of others. And then, interestingly, a lot of the supporting cast, including Octavia Spencer and Ariana DeBose, are executive producers on this.
Yes.
And it's the little film that could, you know, once the story was sold as a script and it was brought to Stephanie's attention, she happened to be directing on the set of Physical, and when she read the script, she's like, Rose is Amanda. And that's how that whole thing started to evolve. And it is a low-budget film. It's a humble film. It was filmed in less than 3 weeks, with Northern New Jersey standing in for Seattle, with the exception of some exterior setup shots. So it's the little film that could, and in this day and age, it's really humbling to see this true story. And I hope people walk away feeling that they might look with a little bit more compassion upon people whose story they don't know as to why they're in the circumstances that they are regarding homelessness.
It's important that you said that this is low budget, and therefore it doesn't have a lot of the glitz of other movies that are out there. It's going to be missed, Mary, even with Rose Byrne's recent nomination. And with our seeing her in If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, this is a completely different role. And here's a fine actress who suddenly in middle age is becoming a star.
Yes, and she carries this film much the same way that she carried If I Had Legs, I'd Kick
right.
You.
Yeah.
But the supporting cast here is more extensive and absolutely excellent. The one exception would be, I was not impressed with Demi Lovato. Oh, yeah. She plays one of the shelter residents. And her performance just comes across as flat to me. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure why that character was even in the film.
And I had to look back to make sure it was she.
And they have like this odd scene at a Christmas party at the shelter where she's on stage singing. And she has a beautiful voice, but it's just... In the context of the rest of the film, to me, that character in that particular scene wasn't necessary.
And I agree with you. So if you want to hear more about what Mary has to say...
and John.
Right. And particularly about heroines, which is something I'd like to look in film. You have to go to WCBE.org at our podcast experience. In this case, it's Double Take. And Mary, what do you advise?
I advise that this small, humble film is worth a trip to the theater.
Boy, I couldn't agree more. You want something that you can talk about afterwards. You could bring almost anybody from your family or as a date or so on, and I think be fully satisfied. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, there's something very theatrical about this. You were mentioning, well, now and then you get a shot at Seattle and so on, and you're so right. The emphasis is always on what's happening with her and her interaction with these interesting people and actors along the way. For me, for a guy like me who loves theater and loves the words, this is nectar. Well, Mary, we've been talking about TOW, T-O-W, and starring Rose Byrne, and it's hard to separate the two because she is TOW.
She is Amanda Ogle.
Right. And I didn't prepare you for anything to do, but I just didn't want to have us leave.
One aspect of the film that I really appreciated was the fact that when we first meet Amanda, she's quirky. We don't really understand why she's homeless and living out of her car. We learn more along the way, and she becomes much more sympathetic as to the circumstances that she's in and that she's trying. And she becomes our unexpected heroine, which I really think makes the film all that much more engaging and enjoyable, even though it is a humble film. It becomes very moving. At some points, I actually got emotional with the character of Amanda when you realize what she's up against, especially her final court scene. where she wrote out what she wanted to say.
Yes.
And it's
nicely done.
Nicely done, very eloquent, very emotional, and true to her character. She doesn't all of a sudden become a Harvard law grad and arguing before the Supreme Court. She speaks from her heart.
Yes, right.
About what's right. And in this case, I think we all recognize that somebody who's had their car stolen shouldn't have to pay anything to get their stolen car back. It becomes this exorbitant battle with the towing company, and she becomes a heroine from an unexpected place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For me, I was expecting to have the role be almost unrestrained. Coming off of her recent Oscar nomination, and If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, I thought it might be pretty much almost close to over-the-top screaming and ranting and terrific pain, personal pain and so on. And she plays it cool. She, you know, I really like her character in this. It's the way I'd like to be if something like that happened. I'd be, of course, at $21,000 for a towing fee. I would be practically comatose.
So have you ever had your car towed?
Yes, I have. Foolishly parked on State Street and High on the either the wrong way or something. And I came out and I had that sinking feeling. I pretty much knew what I had done wrong.
So I had my car towed on the campus of the Ohio State University when I was a student. Day before Thanksgiving, band used to practice in the West parking lot. So your car had to be gone by 3 o'clock. The challenge was I worked for the Office of Finance, and that day was working in the comptroller's office, which was in one of the towers just southwest of the stadium. And I had actually called ahead and said, will the band be practicing? Because I need to work, and I don't want to be walking on campus when it's deserted the night before Thanksgiving. Sure. And I was told they wouldn't be practicing, and I wouldn't have to worry about my car being towed. Wrong answer. I go out, my car has been towed. I walk to campus police, find out that it's been towed. And this was back in the 80s. So I had to pay because I had parked illegally and my car was towed the night before Thanksgiving to get it out. And luckily, I got there and I had to call my mom because this was pre-cell phones. Yeah. Luckily, she was home and she came down and had cash because they wouldn't take credit card. And I think it was like $40 because it was like a fine. Right. I would have been stuck on campus if my mom wasn't home and I didn't have any cash. And I mean, it was a different time, but it was that sinking feeling. And also, the Seattle situation in 2017 was much worse than my situation. I wasn't going to become homeless, but I could have been in an unsafe situation. And it was really scary how like heartless the system was. The night before Thanksgiving, I thought I had done everything right.
Yeah.
You know, to be up against campus police and the campus park towing people who were like, nope, you can't get your car unless you pay us.
And you didn't go back on them to tell them that you were misinformed?
I did. I told them that when I went to the police, and they were like, sorry about your luck.
Ooh,
yeah, wow. The band wasn't practicing, but the rules are still in force.
Yeah.
So it is a horrible feeling, and to see what this woman went through is, you realize how the systems are stacked against people, especially people who may not have means. But somewhere within herself, Amanda found the means to fight this because she knew what was right and wrong.
And there are little nuanced characters that were very effective. And the fellow who was in charge of the towing company or the manager.
Clerk, yeah, Cliff, played by Simon Rex.
Yeah, yes.
He's a very nice. You could tell he's sympathetic.
Yeah, this is real.
But he also needs his job.
Yes.
Right. So,
and this is real.
Yeah.
Heroines in movies. I have a list of a few in my mind, and I wanted to ask you first if you can think of any woman in a movie that...
Well, certainly almost any role that Bette Davis played. I always viewed her as a heroine.
She really is.
I would put Barbara Stanwyck, mostly because of their eras. Yeah. They were two strong women.
Yes.
As actresses, were very clear in choosing their roles and chose strong women, strong independent women characters at a time when that wasn't always easy to do in the case. So as actresses, I found them to be heroines. And Katharine Hepburn, I would put in category
as well.
Oh, I
was going to say, she's at the top of my list.
When she made it back into Hollywood with the Philadelphia Story, it was because she had bought the rights to it and was in control to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. And her role in African Queen, for instance, is just really a splendid role.
Absolutely.
And very fine for the strong-willed woman.
Yes.
Who eventually falls in love with Bogey, but it's not quick. It's not easy. I have another one that's completely different from these three or four that you have mentioned and I've agreed with. And that's Sigourney Weaver in Alien.
Yes.
And it's a more physical kind of heroine. Yeah.
And again, at the time the film was made in the late 70s, I think early 80s, late 70s, it was unusual to have the woman be the survivor of this sci-fi thriller tragedy.
Yes.
And that she really has to dig deep and rely on her own instincts in order to do that.
Yes, yes, the great beginning for that. One that I've admired as an actress who almost always plays a strong woman, and she's coming back in The Devil Wears Prada 2, Meryl Streep.
Yes. The chameleon of chameleons of actresses.
Wow.
She can play it all.
Oh, my gosh. And she's almost uniformly strong. Am I wrong in that? I can't think where she...
She is. I mean, I would say probably the film that brought her to prominence, because I think it was her first Academy Award nomination, was Kramer versus Kramer. Mm-hmm. And she plays a woman who is really struggling mentally and emotionally and has to leave her marriage and leave her son. But then she wants to come back and get custody of her son. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the weaker, in addition to Sophie's Choice, which is a completely different situation.
Yes.
But it's probably one of the more...
She's more vulnerable in that.
More vulnerable characters that she plays.
And
a character that continued to be vulnerable up through the end.
When I travel with my friends, Keith and Lula, Lula tends to be controlling. She's the Spock to Keith's driving Captain Kirk. And so we'll say, okay, Ma, when she suggests something. And that's, we're referring to Ma Jode in Grapes of Wrath and Jane Darwell. And she plays the mother, and she is so strong. And you have Henry Fonda there, and you have strong actors. And yet I'm so impressed with the way she does that. I don't know if anybody else has ever played like that. Now, the more modern heroine is slightly different, and the one that I'm thinking about is Wonder Woman. And I'm just thinking of the way that she's depicted is one of physical strength. As much as anything. To me, it's a new heroine.
Well, and comic book characters, I mean, that's what they're designed to be. You could pick any Marvel character, man or woman, and they're supposed to be heroes.
Yes, yes.
Except for the evil ones.
Right. I think also a Mad Max and Charlize Theron. And that's not a kind of movie you would have seen.
Not my cup of tea.
Right. Nor your husband, Bob's.
Nor my husband, Bob's. Yeah, that is true.
I knew I'd suggest that and you'd get it, but I wouldn't. She's very physical. Very, very powerful element of this joy to see. She's tattooed up, and she knows how to defend herself. She's a really good character in actually a series of movies, the Mad Max movies, and I think she may be coming back again as a character in that. She's impressive as a woman. And we have a newer one, and here's one, a heroine for me. And again, this is not a movie you would have seen, Hunger Games. And this would be Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
And her role is as smart as it is physical, and maybe even more smart. And I love that kind of modern woman.
Well, I don't know if it's modern. It's apocalyptic, which is I hope it's not modern times, reflective of modern times.
But in the way they're depicted...
Yes.
I'm just that trajectory is as much physicality as it is intellectual.
Well, and that women don't need to rely on men to be strong. They can rely on themselves.
Yes.
And I think that's definitely a much more modern portrayal of the female heroine. And I think it's come alongside. You have more women screenwriters, you have more women directors, particularly the film that started our conversation, Toe, even though the screenplay is by men, you have a female heroine and you have a female director. And you have a predominantly female producing team, both producers and executive producers.
Yeah.
So I think those things go hand in hand in terms of the development of the strong woman character, the heroine character, is more prevalent now in films, and that's a good thing.
One of the ones that I believe, if we had a group of people here, might be cited as a heroine more than anybody else, because it's like our heroine in Tow. She's involved in something that's very contemporary, and in this case, our heroine is involved in environmental issues, and it's Erin Brockovich with Julia Roberts.
So interestingly, when I saw Tow at Gateway Film Center, my friends Beth and Tom joined me.
Oh, good.
And Beth, I think, was the one who said it reminded her of Erin Brockovich,
oh, good.
The character of Amanda.
Oh, yeah. Beth is such a good goer.
She is.
She is. And they like it, I hope.
They did. And they were glad that they didn't see Surratt, which we reviewed a couple weeks ago,
and felt this was
a much better choice.
It was a good choice for all of us. Well, there you go, Mary. It's a small movie called Tow. It's playing only at the Gateway Film Center here in Columbus.
And in Columbus right now, yes.
Yeah, in Columbus right now. I'm hoping it will be streaming, because surely it will leave. It can't be a big winner for them. You and I would advise anyone, I think. Would you advise?
I think it's a film that, because of the nature of the story, even though there are some mature themes, it's certainly a film that is appropriate for most ages.
Yep. It's old-time movie making.
It is. It's a small budget film made on a small timeline.
Yeah.
Directed by, I think this is Stephanie Lang's second feature film. She's predominantly in television. And so she ran a pretty tight, efficient ship when this was filmed in 2024. It had its world premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival in 2025 and was picked up by Roadside Attractions and Vertical Films for release on March 20th. So it may not be in the theaters long, but it's certainly worth a trip to see it. And if you miss it, definitely try and see it streaming.